Short but sweet.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. But sweet, sweet but short.
The crisp, juicy nature of life.
The freshness of life. The rhythm of life.
A lot of people are trying to say that Señor Tomat is some kind of fucking orange.
This is heresy. This is heresy. No. And these people should be burned at the fucking stake.
Kill them immediately.
Kill.
I've heard it being claimed that you can search for like orange GIF or something and Señor Tomat comes up. Google's made errors.
Fake news.
Yeah.
Fake news, Google.
And even if that happens, if that is a mistake on Google's part, they need to immediately rectify. Please write to Google and
ask. It's because there's this whole sect of people who are just lying scumbags.
Yeah.
Who want to act like Señor Tomat is some kind of fucking disgusting, revolting, hideous
They do not believe
orange.
In the rhythm of life, sir.
Nope.
Ever-bouncing rhythm of life.
Yep.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
You can feel it within you.
Yeah. I do.
Sit still and quiet your mind. You can feel the rhythm of life.
I don't live
we in. Should all be bouncing.
The need to bounce.
Ooh.
Ooh. We bounce together.
It feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
Dude, fuck, man.
I told you, you feel better now, right?
I feel invigorated.
There's something about it. Something about that tomato.
That tomato, boy. I'll tell you what.
That tomato, he is a special one. He a special little tomato.
He's like the little
man.
Fucking tomato that came into our lives and changed everything, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a better person after I met him.
Scotty's head's getting cut off a little. I'm going to fix it.
Going to cut my head off? Damn, Scotty. Not my fucking fault.
There we go. There we go.
God damn, TJ. You do anything fucking right?
I just did.
We fire fucking Glenn, and this is what we get.
Well, I'm looking for a new tech guy.
Yeah.
Thank God.
A new tech skeleton.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, skeletons are the best at tech. So.
Well, yeah. All these shows have a tech skeleton. It's just.
Everybody knows that.
Glenn wasn't working out.
Glenn just didn't have what it took. But we're going to get a new one. It's going to be good. We're going to get a much better tech skeleton than Glenn
Thank
ever
God.
Was.
Good.
It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. So.
What's going on in the world today, TJ?
That's a good question, Paul.
People want to be flash fried.
People want to know what's going on in this
we need
big,
some news.
Wonderful world of ours. Yeah, we need the news, damn it. Need the news.
The hard fucking facts.
So, hard Scotty, you journalism. Pulled some articles, right? Go ahead and...
Uh-oh.
Was it your turn? It was Scotty's turn.
Shit, dude.
It was Scotty's turn to pull articles?
Yeah, where's the articles?
Oh, shit.
Hold on, maybe... I think he usually shares it with... Let me check my emails here.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't have an email from Scotty.
God damn it. This is why no one respects our fucking show, dude. Because, you know, we're
Bunch
not...
Bunch of slouches.
You know, it's like we tell Scotty to do something, he don't do it. We tell Paul to do something, he doesn't do it. We tell TJ to do something, I always get...
I have memory problems, okay?
I'm on top of shit. You guys are fucking slacking pieces of shit. Carrying you, bitch.
I'm incapable of working.
You know what?
Incapable.
Let me just pull an article right out of my fucking ass. Here we go.
Okay.
Whoa.
Christian youth leader raped underage girl and punched her in the stomach when he thought she was pregnant.
Oh, my God.
Is this the guy?
That's him.
Wow.
Look at him.
Now, this is a little old. This is from February, but we never covered it before, so, you know, whatever.
Who cares? I don't care if it's from 10 years ago. This is awesome.
It's awesome.
Whoa, Paul.
I mean, like, the fact that...
I understand why it's awesome.
Right.
Oh, Paul, we understand.
I'm not saying it's awesome. A girl was raped.
A former church youth leader allegedly raped a girl and, when he thought she was pregnant, punched her in the stomach.
Well, I mean, he doesn't believe in abortion. I mean, so...
Maybe he's one of those pro-choice Christians.
Well, Here's the thing. He punched her because, you know, he didn't want the blood to be on her hands.
Right. He was trying to take that sin.
Yeah.
Samuel Patrick Dockery, 23, is now facing 26 charges, including rape, indecent assault, and unlawful sexual connection. Aren't those all under the same, like, doesn't rape already include indecent assault and unlawful, whatever?
No. Like, I'm telling you, one of the things I learned being involved in the criminal case with the dudes that gaffled me up
they
is
like
that
when pile them charges.
Oh, dude,
on.
When you do something, like, there's a subcharge for every aspect of your crime. You know what I mean? Like, you don't just, like, if you kidnap somebody, it's assault with a deadly weapon, it's kidnapping, it's unlawful, you know, assault.
It's theft of your vehicle, basically.
Theft. Like, it just, they throw the book at you.
I feel like that shouldn't be the case, but whatever. That's not...
Those are all crimes, though.
Yeah, I agree, but like I think it should just fall under the purview of the most serious charge.
Well, the reason they do that is they want it, let's say they somehow beat one of the charges, right, then they still go to jail.
I mean, in most of these crimes, honestly, they include multiple crimes. Like the crime that was committed against me, carjacking in California is a crime, punishable right. offense, right?
Yeah.
That's what happened to me in a broad sense.
Sure.
But it was also I was held, so I was kidnapped. I was held, the gun was held to my head, assault with a deadly weapon with intent right. to cause, you know what I mean? All this shit. I was underage, so that came into play. Assault on a minor.
I think it could have all just gone under one charge of menacing a fat boy.
Yeah, that would have worked. As long as there's a hefty penalty for menacing a fat boy.
With menacing a fat boy.
You are sentenced to 1 billion years in prison. You'll be eligible for parole next year. He pleaded not guilty at the beginning of his trial. At the Hamilton District Court on Tuesday. The offenses are alleged to have taken place in Auckland and Waikato between September 1st, 2011.
It's in New Zealand.
And March 1st, 2013. I don't know. I guess so. And involved two complainants, both of whom were underage and under the age of 16 at the time.
Damn, dude.
Some of the charges Dockery faces are alternative charges to some of the more serious ones, which include two counts of rape. Other incidents, including the alleged sexual molestation of two complainants and instances where he had them perform oral sex on him. Dockery is being represented by lawyer Sheila Cameron, who told the jury of 5 men and 7 women that the issue of consent would be at the heart of their decision-making process. It's not about applying morality, certainly not Christian morality, she
what?
Said. It's about applying common sense.
What? Wait.
The old she wanted it defense.
Look, these bitches.
Look, they wanted it, man.
Their pussies was wet for this.
Well, he obviously knew that it was illegal to do it, and he did it anyway. So, you know, even if they consented, it's still considered rape under the laws of, I guess, you know, New Zealand.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what New Zealand's fucking laws are? I don't
either. I mean,
if she's running with that kind of defense, maybe it's a little shaky there.
Look, it's common sense, guys. Don't be distracted by Christian morality. Look, but just
even though this is the morality that he supposedly bases his life on, it's let's throw that out the window because he needs a legal defense. Wonderful.
So yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. This might have already been decided because, like I said, this is an older story.
Something like this probably takes a long time.
Long trial.
Yeah,
but
who knows?
What a stud, though. Look at him.
This guy. You know, I mean, looking pretty good, man.
I can see why teenage girls are falling all over this guy.
You know, this. I mean, it takes a fucking ballsy man to wear a pink shirt. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Ballsy fellow.
I wonder if those are his underwear hanging on the wire in the story next to him there.
Yeah.
He's got a matching pair
of
drawers.
Wore a pair of underwear for 3 weeks and sold them. Damn, he's making some money
That seems interesting.
His legal defense, dude.
Yeah, why not?
Wore a pair of underwear for 3 weeks and sold them for $5,000.
All right. I'll do the same thing. Come on.
I don't think they're going to pay
$5,000. No, I know. I'm just saying, dude. Come on.
The 21-year-old full-time student signed up on Sophia Gray, an online marketplace for lovingly used underwear, she told Cosmopolitan. I saw that some girls were making good money from this, so I thought I'd try it out, adding, I try to list 3 or 4 pairs each week, though, although I can get a bit lazy. I mean, if you're too lazy to fucking sell your goddamn underwear on the damn internet.
Oh, after 6 months, she made $4,000.
After just six months of selling her panties, she pulled in nearly $4,000. Things turned a corner after receiving a request from a buyer with whom she'd worked with before. And she pulled off the greatest panty deal in the history of the website by wearing the same pair every day for 3 weeks in exchange for $5,000. So, she did make $5,000.
Damn, dude.
She wore them for 3 weeks and he paid $5,000. Because the scent is nice and thick on the panties at that point.
Oh, God, dude. These fucking sick fucks, man.
Gynecologist Alyssa Dweck, MD, spoke to Cosmopolitan about the dangers of not changing your underwear for 21 days.
No shit.
Yeah, really?
There's certainly an increased chance of, yeast infection, bacterial vaginosis.
You know what that is?
No.
That just means the pussy starts stinking real bad.
Dude, neat. TJ, even you change your underwear, like, at least, what, once a week?
I change them every day now that I have someone to do my laundry for me.
Dude, even TJ changes his underwear every day. Damn.
Which is an imbalance of the usual bacterial environment in the vagina. these types of bugs trend to thrive in warm, dark, moist, moist, dark places.
A warm, moist, dark place.
It's a dark place. It's a very dark. All right. So.
Damn.
New York panties.
I guess.
The dirty panty market is hot right now, guys.
The ladies in our fucking fan base, if you want to make some extra money, there you go.
Yeah, if you're a girl, send us your dirty panties.
If you're a girl, I'll send you $5. But
go to this website.
Put them on.
Don't speak for yourself, TJ.
All right, well, go ahead then, Paul. This just proves the New York Times right here. Opinion. If you let boys be boys, they will murder their fathers and sleep with their mothers.
What?
Yep.
Opinion.
This is the New York Times, a once respected newspaper.
What have I become?
What the fuck happened to the gray lady, dude? What happened to the gray lady of Gotham?
She did.
She died, and this is what they're doing on her corpse?
Yeah, what happened to intellectual discourse?
Dance and a jig. So this is just the Twitter thing they put it out. I went and found the actual article because I'm like, man, this is crazy.
The unexamined brutality of the male libido.
Oh, God, dude.
By
here we go.
Stefan Marche.
Marche. Now, this is a really long article, so we're probably not going to read it all, but let's just dip a toe into this horse shit.
Let's try it.
After weeks of continuously unfolding abuse scandals, men have become quite literally unbelievable. What any given man might say about gender politics and how he treats women are separate and unrelated phenomena. Liberal or conservative, feminist or chauvinist, woke or benighted, young or old, found on Fox News or in the New Republic, a man's stated opinions have next to no relationship to behavior.
Okay.
So basically what you say is bullshit. You're going to rape anyway.
If you got a penis, you a lying sack of shit.
Because as we know, when women say something, they always do it.
Oh, yeah. Women are never subversive.
Always congruent opinions.
Yeah. Women never fucking say things they don't mean to get reactions. Never, ever, ever.
Through sheer bulk, the string of revelations about men from Bill Cosby to Roger Ailes to Harvey Weinstein to Louis C.K. Wow. Why is he on that list? To Al Franken?
Yeah.
Okay. There's some false equivocation going on here for sure.
No, it's all the same. They're all the same.
Bill Cosby drugged and raped like 100 women.
Yeah, and it's been
Harvey Weinstein like was using his position to rape women.
Yeah, to be a sexual
predator.
And to
fucking sexually prey on women.
Louis C.K.
liked to ask women, like, hey, can I jerk off in front of you? And if they said no, he said, all right.
And Al Franken hover-handed somebody's boobs while they were asleep.
Now, Charlie Rose, he did some kind of fucked up shit. John Lasseter, I haven't even heard the accusations there. I don't know. But anyway, these are not all these men are not on the same fucking level. So that's bullshit. They force men to confront what I don't even think Louis C.K. did anything wrong. I'll be honest with you.
I mean, not from the stories I heard. He didn't force himself on anybody. He just made people uncomfortable by pulling his dick out at fucking like inappropriate moments. He did that wrong. I agree. You probably shouldn't have people that you're professionally involved with come into an office with you and pull your dick out and start stroking it.
Definitely not.
But he asked them first, though.
Did he ruin their fucking lives?
No.
No.
Didn't ruin their lives. Didn't ruin their careers. Whatever. Who cares? I mean, if he did something wrong, it was way minor compared to what Bill Cosby did.
Yeah. They're not even the same ballpark.
Who forced men to confront what they hate to think about most, the nature of men in general.
Man's greatest weakness.
Hey, look at these. How many examples you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Look at these 7 men we can cite as being bad.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make you just think about the nature of all men, all 3 billion something men on the face of the earth?
Well, it's so easy to make these kind of fucking wild, spurious claims. Oh, look, the reign of Baba cut off a man's penis. What can we infer about that?
What does that say about the violent femininity of women?
Oh, it's so terrible.
This time, the accusation.
What about those women that leave their children in cars? Women just can't take care of children. Yeah.
Violent femininity.
What about all these women who drown their kids in the bathtub?
Women shouldn't be around children when they give them baths. They might just decide to drown them randomly.
You can't trust what they say about it either.
This time, the accusations aren't against some freak geography teacher. What? Some frat running amok in a southern college town. What? They're against men of all different varieties, in different industries, with different sensibilities, bound together solely by the grotesquerie of their sexuality.
This is incorrect as well. These men are not members of different industries. They're all high-powered entertainment people.
Yeah. So,
so the right, like this article can't be right. As hard as it tries, it can't make a single fucking point.
Men arrive at this moment of reckoning woefully unprepared.
What do you mean, men like you?
Most are shocked by the reality of women's lived experience. Almost all... I hate that term, lived experience. Like, what other kind of experience fucking is there?
Yeah, does any other fucking sentient animal have?
It's a total tautology. That's fucking redundant as shit.
Imagined experience.
Oh, yeah. Almost all are uninterested or unwilling to grapple with the problem at the heart of all
this. That's totally false.
The often ugly and dangerous nature of the male libido. Dun, dun, dun. You've got men.
Why can't it be the often ugly and dangerous nature of some men's libidos? Because I've never wangled anybody in my life.
Oh,
and I don't plan on wangling anybody.
Paul, you are a potential rapist.
For most of history, we've taken for granted the implicit brutality of male sexuality. In 1976, the radical feminist and pornography opponent Andrea Dworkin said that the only sex between a man and a woman that could be undertaken without violence was sex with a flaccid penis.
Yeah, what an expert, dude.
I think that men will have to give up their precious erections, she wrote. In the 3rd century AD, it is widely believed the great Catholic theologian Origen, working on roughly the same principle, castrated himself.
So your examples
of how most of history we as a collective have taken for granted the implicit brutality of male sexuality is some crazy radical feminist and some nut job that cut his dick off.
Yeah, think about this, dude. Just read that fucking quote that the only type of sex between a man and a woman that could be undertaken without violence is with a flaccid penis. So the only kind of sex...
So she's saying the erection is sex that is like a knife. Well, it's like a weapon.
She's saying the only kind of sex is sex that a man can't enjoy. You can't fucking have sex with your dick not hard. So what she's saying is that men shouldn't have dicks and therefore shouldn't enjoy sex at all.
Fear of the male libido has been the subject of myth and of fairy tale from the beginning of literature. What else were the stories of Little Red Riding Hood or Bluebeard's Castle about? A vampire is an ancient and powerful man with an insatiable hunger for young flesh. I mean, that's not really a great description of what a vampire is.
Not only that, but vampires are also women.
Yeah, because a vampire could be a woman. And
so are werewolves.
They're not hungry for flesh. They're hungry for blood.
There are tons of examples of female werewolves.
They're not necessarily hungry for young flesh either.
And most of those myths come from stories about people trying to obtain youth.
Werewolves are men who regularly lose their control of their bestial nature.
And women.
Women, too.
Yep.
Get the point? No, I don't.
No, I don't.
No, sorry.
There is a line, obviously, between desire and realization. And some cross it and some don't.
Oh, good job. You just refuted your whole fucking argument. You just established the fucking refutation for your own argument. There is a line, obviously, between desire and realization. And some cross it and some don't. Congratulations. Yeah. I just realized you're not talking about all men. You're talking about Harvey Weinstein and co.
Let's see how this all wraps up. I mean, it goes on and on. I'm not asking for male consciousness raising groups. Let's start with a basic understanding that masculinity is a subject worth thinking about. That alone would be an immense step forward. If you want to be a civilized man, you have to consider what you are. Pretending to be something else, some fiction you would prefer to be, cannot help. It is not morality, but culture, accepting our monstrosity, reckoning with it, that can save us, if anything can.
Fuck you, dude, this self-hating bullshit.
Dude, someone should go...
What do you mean accepting our monstrosity?
I want someone to take Steven... I want someone to use their toxic masculinity to find Steven March and fucking slam his head against a rock.
I mean,
this guy is a useless fucking appendage.
The rock would fucking break, dude. Throw him into fucking Mount Doom. Unmake the stupidity, which is him.
Damn, dude, this is fucking frustratingly dumb.
Wrestle with our monstrosity.
Wrestle with your monstrosity.
Yeah, we're monsters, dude.
Because you're a man.
Look at this self-hating
bullshit. You know what's funny is that The New York Times really liked that piece because they fucking dug that up from November and retweeted that recently.
Yeah. Well, of course, because it's like, oh,
it's so profound.
Profound and powerful, you know?
To realize how evil males are.
Yep.
Just, you know, let's just understand men are evil. Men are evil.
And when they see a woman, they just can't contain themselves. They have to commit sexual assault.
Oh, God, I just
assault,
have to be sexually deviant.
Beat them, whip their dick out. I do something to cross the line.
Anytime a woman does something brutal or violent, too, it's patriarchy. Because of... Yeah, it's because she learned it from men.
Learned it by watching men.
Some response.
Men.
Yep.
So you guys remember the school walkout for against gun violence?
Yes.
Well, the right wing is working on its counter response.
Finally.
And this is what they're doing. Stand for the Second. Students across USA plan 16-minute walkout to back Second Amendment.
Oh, my God. This is going to be all the dorks in school. There's going to be like 15 kids from each school that do this walkout, and they're all going to get made fun of.
Students at schools across the nation plan to walk out of their classrooms Wednesday to show their support for the Second Amendment. The national event called Stand for the Second was started by New Mexico high schooler Will Riley. Students say they will... Oh, this is Will Riley, by the way. There he is.
Danger, Will Riley. Danger.
Students say they will walk out of classes for 16 minutes. Organizers say they expect students in more than 40 states to take part. The event comes just over a month after students around the country staged a walkout aimed at stopping gun violence and honoring the students killed at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida in February.
So this is the students like to be shot counter protest?
Yeah, this is like... Shoot us if you want.
Yeah,
fuck gun violence. Yeah,
we have the right to be afraid to go to school.
I want you to see this though. Riley, 18, a senior at Carlsbad High School, told the Carlsbad Current Argus last month that the media reports of the student gun protest prompted an organized Stand for the Second. So look at this.
We are the people.
There are 15 people.
We the people are here. Where are you? Where?
Hey guys, they hadn't arrived yet.
It says a couple hundred are there.
Yeah, where are they at?
I don't see them.
They're not in this picture.
So a couple hundred people showed up. Come on, guys.
I'm watching the news, and I see they're saying, well, we have to do something about this. We have to enact some sort of gun control legislation because this is what the kids are asking for. And I'm thinking, I'm not asking for that, Riley said. I look at my friends, and I think, they're not asking for that. I wanted to give a voice to all of the people who feel they're being misrepresented by the media. Zach Bell, 18, a senior at Grand Ledge High School near Lansing, Michigan, is one of those planning to walk out. He said the event is an opportunity for students to voice support for the Second Amendment. It is a vital part of our Bill of Rights, Bell said. I believe it's important. Without it, we wouldn't be the country that we are today.
What is it that, TJ?
Well, we wouldn't be the country we are today without a lot of things like slavery and fucking bringing in Chinese.
All right, TJ, you know what? You want to take guns?
War.
You want to take guns away. So, TJ, you're telling these people to not have their democratic right to protest.
I said that.
Seems like you're against it, though.
I'm against this dorky counter protest because it's going to be lame.
So, TJ, only the liberals in this country are allowed to protest.
No, I mean, they can have. I'm not saying they're not allowed.
I mean, if their protest had 15 kids nationwide do a walkout, then I would have made fun of them, too.
They said a couple hundred people were in Tallahassee alone. So thousands of people.
Yeah, parents.
Have made their voices heard, Paul. Have made their voices heard.
So anyway, we'll see how this goes.
We'll hear about this.
It's going to be on what day? Wednesday? That should be today, right?
Today, dude.
Trust me, right now,
the people are walking out, dude.
It's the last we'll hear about this.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, and don't eat romaine lettuce.
Don't eat. Breaking news. E. coli breakout.
If you're in the U.S.,
romaine lettuce.
Don't eat romaine
Hills
lettuce.
One in California expanded 25. Leave the romaine alone.
Yeah, no Caesar salads for a while,
guys.
It
was funny because, like, me and Taylor went to, like, what is it, Raisin Cane's. She's like, why isn't there lettuce on the sandwich? The guy's like, E. coli outbreak. She's like, oh.
Shitty.
Well, I guess I couldn't eat it. Damn, dude. Gas is going up.
So, there's not really an article here. There's this video.
Prices but at the pump.
Gas prices hit 3-year high nationwide.
In California.
The average gas... Well, nationwide. It says nationwide.
Well, what's
it,
well the, oh, I thought you were talking about the thing in California.
The average gas price in California is $3.61.
Fuck, dude.
With prices all rising above $3 throughout the entire West Coast, places like New York, Michigan, and D.C. are approaching the same prices.
See, this is the shit that I find funny, because I'm old enough now to have seen a million of these.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is how they get us with these gas prices and shit. They rape us with these $3, $4, $5 a gallon prices for a while until we get pissed off. And then gas prices start falling again, and everybody celebrates. They're like, yay! But it always goes down not quite as far as it went last time. So if last time gas prices dropped to $1.10 a gallon or something, this time they dropped to $1.50. We all go, yay! Happy days are here again. And then they go back up to $4, and we go, no! And then they drop back down to $2 this time. And we go, yay!
But with inflation, though, it depends on what the price is. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the price of 1990 and compare it now, is it with inflation, is it the same cost?
I mean, it's probably a little more, but I'm telling you, dude, I personally remember sub dollar a gallon gas.
No, I do too. Like, I remember when I was a kid, gas was like a dollar a gallon, if not like sometimes it'd be 80 cents a gallon.
When I moved to Arizona at 19 years old, gas was under a dollar a gallon in Arizona at time. 75 cents a gallon, 80 cents a gallon.
Where we used to live, Washington State, actually had some of the highest gas prices in the U.S. It was like, even when gas prices were low, like, you know, a year ago, it was still like $2.80, $2.90 a gallon.
I want you guys to look at something interesting here.
What's that? I thought we were going to see the video of...
I don't want to play no Lester Holt bullshit.
Okay.
But... there's something interesting I'd like to bring up that has to do with gas prices.
Okay.
This is George Bush's approval ratings and gas prices.
Okay.
And the higher the gas prices go, the lower George Bush's approval ratings go. There seems to be like a relationship there.
Like an inverse correlation,
right,
between gas prices and the approval rating of a president.
Yeah,
probably goes throughout presidents, right?
Like I don't know if it goes throughout all presidents, but it definitely went through Bush. Like they said that the gas prices thing was a better predictor of where his popularity ratings were going to be at than pretty much anything else.
It's a common item people are buying every day.
Because people really like... gas is something people need, and if you're going to a job, you know, every day, paying more in gas prices to get to that fucking job
makes you get paid less, basically.
It basically means like
you get
it's
paid less.
It's like a fucking demotion. It's like a pay decrease.
But it goes beyond that too, because not only that, all your food costs, everything else you're buying is going up in price too. So you're saying, man, my paycheck's getting squeezed harder and harder. Gas prices are through the fucking roof. I'm paying more for a fucking gallon of milk or whatever it is I'm fucking buying. This president's fucking sucks. Because the tangible way you're going to relate that to is the country's headed in the wrong direction. You have less money. You're able to buy less shit. Everything's more expensive. You're not going to be happy.
Well, I'm just wondering, though, because there was all this stuff about Bush. There was all these things that were being revealed about him, all these things he was doing wrong, all these scandals that plagued his administration. None of that seemed... to chip away at his base. But the one thing that really did was high gas prices.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering if Trump should be sweating this about now.
I mean, Trump, here's the problem, that Trump has got so much shit on his plate that he should be sweating right now, that this is just another thing on the pile. Like, honestly, like, his base is already being eroded by his own actions and shit. There are already people who have flipped on him because of the way he conducts himself publicly and shit.
Yeah.
So
Trump is probably the first one-term president in a long time without.
He's got this looming fucking investigation that looks like it's fucking winding up here. It's starting, like, you know, I don't know if we pulled anything about it, but Trump not fired his lawyer, his big Ty Cobb guy that's always been his lawyer, stepped down today in favor of the same guy that represented Clinton in his impeachment hearings.
Yeah,
things are starting to take shape
when you
here.
You start
guys.
Hiring people who've dealt with presidential impeachment
Come on,
hearings
Trump.
And stuff, you know. That
Trump,
shows you're not
last.
Too confident
dude,
about
Trump
what your position
Trump needs to last,
is.
Dude. He needs to fucking last so I win that money.
Earlier this week, a bunch of questions leaked
Mueller's questions.
Yeah,
right. The questions he has. There's more. There's a few dozen of them that he has. So
there's
the president.
About four dozen.
I did actually hear the all circling around this Russia. What did he know?
I actually
what did
he
think
the
about
Fox
it?
News perspective on that, and it was a perjury trap, dude. They're trying to trap Trump.
Oh, 110%. Because that's how you get him. That's how you get the impeachment proceeding started. Is that you? That's how it happened with Clinton.
So if Trump is smart, Trump will say nothing. He honestly, that's his best.
I do not recall.
Clinton said, you know, under oath, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. And then when evidence
of justice,
since some cum on a dress showed up, boom.
So since we're kind of talking about Bush, there's a. You guys remember the shoes? You might want to put your headphones on for this.
Okay.
You guys remember the dude that threw his shoes at Bush?
Yeah.
There's actually been an update in that story after all these years.
Really?
Did the shoe finally hit him or something?
Cool.
Yeah, the shoe finally hit him. No. Well, let's check out the...
I can't hear shit.
Yeah, it's not really... It doesn't seem like the audio is really playing there for some reason.
No, I could hear it. It was just way low.
Yeah, I think the video just has really low volume. Whatever. Bush doesn't even give a shit, dude.
He's so cool. He's cool as a cucumber. I mean, he even tells his security guy to back off.
Yeah,
he's like,
no,
it's
no,
all
right. It's just some idiot throwing shoes.
It's just a shoe.
He's smiling and like, yeah, how you doing?
We'll see that again,
Iraqi
dude.
Prime Minister, or whoever
hands.
The fuck you are.
He's like, whoa, dodges it.
He's like, it's all right, man. Don't worry about it.
Smiling,
just a shoe. Just hitting you with a shoe.
Look at all these fucks that just like pour into the room if you throw your shoe at the president, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know why the volume is so low on this video, but it doesn't really matter. You just need to see the fucking the dodge.
Yep.
Well, anyway, the guy who threw his shoe is now seeking a parliament seat in Iraq.
He's using his fame, dude.
Yeah, he's using his I threw shoes at Bush fame to fucking seek a parliament seat in his country. Muntazar al-Zaidi. The Iraqi journalist who threw his shoes at former President George W. Bush in 2008 is running for parliament in Baghdad, BuzzFeed News reported on Tuesday. I wonder how heavily he's leaning on that.
Dude,
you know?
He shouldn't use that campaign photo. He should just have a picture of a shoe.
Yeah, it should just... Well, shoes are considered, like, insulting in the Muslim world.
So all right, maybe. So just a shoe stomping on an American flag, then.
Or, you know what? Yeah. Show George Bush's face...
Get
and like a big shoe mark on it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Rewrite history where the shoe landed, you know? This is a farewell kiss from the Iraqi people, you dog. Zaidi yelled in Arabic while throwing both of his shoes at Bush and missing both times. Let's remember that.
Yeah.
This is for the widows and orphans and all those killed in Iraq. Well, that's pretty... I mean, like, if you blame him for that, that's a pretty fucking meager punishment. I threw some shoes at you and missed.
Yeah.
This is for the widows and orphans.
This miss is for all the dead. And this miss is for the widows and orphans.
Yeah, you guys
he was tackled by then Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's bodyguards shortly after he threw the second shoe. Bush was uninjured in the incident.
Well, he dodged his shit.
Zaidi was arrested and sent to prison. He was released early for good behavior after 9 months and left Iraq in 2009. In 2011, he returned to Iraq but kept a low profile, focused on his foundation that helped that worked to help children who had lost their parents during the American occupation of Iraq. Zaidi's platform or the coalition he's hoping to work with in parliament are not yet clear.
The old throw the shoe at the American pig dog coalition, probably.
Speaking of elections, I didn't pull a story from it because I didn't see one on Reddit where I was pulling, but I think that this has to be covered.
I know you're talking about it, dude.
I think I know, too.
I mean, yeah.
I heard some big news.
I think you both know what we're talking about now.
Knox fucking County, dude.
Knox County.
The contentious seat in Knox County, Tennessee.
Former WWE. I mean, he's not really that former. He was just in some matches like a couple months ago. Former WWE superstar appears to wrestle away GOP nomination in Tennessee mayoral race.
There you go, dude.
I saw some idiots saying that he's mayor now. No, he's not mayor yet.
Mayor.
He won the primary for the Republican.
But I mean, in the area of the country he's in, he pretty much is going to become mayor.
Probably.
The Democrats didn't get anywhere near the same number of votes. You know what? At least another American kicks some fucking ass, dude. I mean, Kane is a pretty big fucking guy, or Glenn Jacobs.
Yeah, he's like 6'10", 6'11".
I mean,
like
so
that.
The mayor's going to fucking... He'll be able to squeeze the other towns around there, dude.
Yeah. Show up and threaten to beat them up.
I have a question about him here, though.
What?
Why isn't he wearing a suit?
Yeah, I don't know. Why is he in the slacks and a polo?
Yeah. Glenn Jacobs, the former WWE superstar known as Kane, appeared to have won a mayoral primary in Tennessee on Tuesday. Jacobs, 51, was leading Brad Andrews by 17 votes in the bid to represent the Republican Party in the race for Knox County mayor. Knox News reported Jacobs was leading 14,633 to 14,616 with a 100% precincts reporting. The former professional wrestler declared victory in a tweet thanking everyone who helped his campaign win the Republican primary. Thanks to everyone with this historic victory, the people who cast a ballot for me, my great team, my wonderful volunteers, he wrote, looking forward to victory in the general election. Jacobs' campaign is a far cry from his WWE wrestling days under the moniker Kane, a monstrous abomination that seems to have been extol. Well, you haven't seen him govern yet, so you don't know yet.
Yeah, you don't know how much of a departure it's going to be.
Maybe he will govern as a monstrous abomination that seems to have been extracted directly from your childhood nightmares.
Who knows?
You never know. The former champ is running on keeping taxes low, focusing on quality education, job creation, improved infrastructure, and limited government. He's a big libertarian.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not to get into the critique of the libertarian argument, but keeping taxes low and quality education.
Yeah, those don't really go hand in hand.
Those two things are a little hard to separate from one another.
Jacobs is hardly the first WWE superstar to take a run in politics. Jesse Ventura served as the governor of Minnesota from 1999 to 2003. Former ECW competitor Terrence Jarren, more commonly known as Rhino, ran for the Michigan House of Representatives in 2016 as a Republican, but lost in the general election by more than 8,000 votes.
Yeah, people couldn't hang with electing Rhino.
It appears Jacobs will be battling Democrat Linda Haney.
Oh, she's done.
In the mayoral race. Yeah, she's going to get choke slammed.
Yep.
Tombstone pile driven into the fucking, table.
It's over.
She's going to get her head
smashed. I always
fucking
forget that Jesse Ventura was a fucking governor, dude. It blows your fucking mind.
I mean, it does kind of blow your mind a little bit, doesn't it?
Wait till president especially fucking now, The Rock.
Dude, now he's a fucking conspiracy fucking nut, dude. He has a bunch of crazy conspiracy theory shows and shit he was doing for years.
President Dwayne The Rock Johnson coming next, dude.
I'll vote for him.
Whatever. I won't.
I'm going to vote for his ass.
I don't fucking vote, dude.
I don't usually vote, but I'm going to vote for The Rock, dude. I'm going to vote for The Rock proudly.
I might fucking vote if it's something like legalizing weed or building a road or something. But as far as politicians,
I'm
going
to legalize The Rock to be our fucking president. That's what I'm going to legalize.
How about Nicolas Cage, TJ? Vote him for president.
I'd vote for Nicolas Cage for president.
That might be fun.
Maybe a fun 4 years.
At this point, the more ridiculous you are, the more likely I am to vote for you for president. Because I think that's where we are as a nation now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's worked out so well with this Trump thing.
It has.
Yeah, let's keep that train going.
Let's just keep the fucking toilet flushing, dude. We're so close to just destroying society completely. So let's just keep pushing it in that direction. You know, Liza Minnelli wants to be president. Yep, everybody president. Everyone gets a shot. I think we should change the terms to like a day so that we get a new president every day.
Well, always have a presidential lottery, dude. You buy a ticket, you win, you become president.
I remember Patton Oswalt, back when he was funny, had this this bit where he said if you get to live to be 110 years old, you're just automatically president. So, yeah. And, whatever crazy declaration you come up with as an old fucking crazy fuck is just, the law of the land now. Everyone has to have a goose in their britches. Okay, I guess that's the law. He's the president. So this is one that Scotty was interested in. Comcast aims to combat cord cutting by limiting major internet speeds, speed increases to cable subscribers.
So you have to buy cable now.
So you know what? We used to have... not from Comcast, so we have Charter or some shit. Charter Spectrum bullshit. I called and I was like, I'm kind of not really feeling this whole cable thing. I just want the internet.
I mean, we only really had cable here because when Scotty was staying here, he likes the football shit.
Yeah, we watched some football.
And it made sense for us to have it, but we don't really watch that shit, so we weren't using it at all.
Yeah, so we called and canceled them. This month, Comcast is basically saying... No. You got to have cable. That's required. We're not going to give you fast internet if you ain't going to buy cable.
If you want the fastest speeds, then you also have to have a cable package.
Yeah, there's no fucking, like, basically what they're trying, this is like saying, all right, if you want a car, you also have to buy a horse and buggy.
Yeah, here's a better idea.
You still have to use this antiquated technology. Yeah,
give people a lower price if they bundle. Give people a higher price if they don't want to bundle for internet by itself.
Well, that's what they already do.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the problem. Like, cause they,
there you go.
When I canceled the cable, they're like, you're going to have to pay more for your internet. Like, it's still overall less than it would be than if I bought both. But he's like, yeah, but you're getting such a good deal on cable. It's like, no deal on cable is good for me because I don't use it.
I don't think I've literally ever seen you guys use it ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's no point. Like,
that's like, hey man, you got a butter churn. You want to churn some butter?
You want to go this is
no, really, I know. Like,
this is a problem though, this cord cutting thing for these industries that have been like so reliant on people just watching TV. Like, we have so much choice now that being beholden to the schedule of a TV and trying to work our lives around that makes no sense. It's like you can just go and watch any show anytime you want. News, you can consume it in bite-sized chunks anytime you want. You don't have to be there for a news program
anymore.
They just
need to give up.
It's an anachronistic. It's an anachronistic model.
Yeah, they just need to understand, like, hey, our
YouTube has TV on it.
Over.
Also, it's the very fact that you can take TV with you everywhere you want, because now people want it online. They want it to fucking have on their phone.
Because with my internet connection, I can go watch shit on the TV. Out there in the living room on YouTube, Hulu,
I'm saying that even if
on
people,
Netflix.
Even if people want to watch these channels, they don't want to be fucking tethered to a cable box and a TV.
Why would they?
It doesn't make any sense. And also, they want to pay the ridiculous fucking prices these networks and the shit want for this shit. It's like, the top cable packages are like $200 a month, $250 a month. It's ridiculous. Or you can spend fucking $80 on an internet connection. It's like,
and see all the same shit.
Yeah, exactly.
For the same price. It just doesn't make sense. It's like Nike going like, yeah, we'll give you our new pair of shoes, but you also got to buy this pair of indigenous hay-woven socks use with the shoes.
Or your feet are going to fucking itch like crazy.
Quit trying to fucking force your anachronistic bullshit down our throat.
How about this? Why don't you take all this money and all this energy you're pouring into trying to rape people into buying your shitty TV, take all that money that you're using and make your internet connection better and sell yourselves on that. Make Comcast we're the fast internet people. Our internet kicks ass. Our infrastructure is better than everybody else. Reinvest all this money that you're
making
into making your shit better. Instead of trying to sell something people clearly don't want.
Dude, Comcast is a fucking entertainment behemoth. They have so much money. They're so profitable. It's just like all these companies just look, how can we squeeze a little bit more out of you? Oh, you've done this now? Well, we want to squeeze you this way now. They're just so fucking greedy. That's why people hate these companies. And they're like, why do they? And it's kind of funny. They're like, oh, and all these consumer polls, they're so fucking low. No one likes them. Everyone fucking hates them. The reason everyone fucking hates them is because they do shit like this.
Yeah.
People are just trying to watch shit. They're trying to save fucking money, and it's like, well, how can we take more money out of your pockets? Like, you guys already get enough fucking money. You're already hugely profitable. What more do you fucking need?
Yep. Yeah.
So you guys remember, let's take a little trip down memory lane for a second.
Okay.
You guys might remember this. Back in 2015, there was a few little concerns about Trump's health, right? So they released this fucking letter. This is from December 14th, 2015 here.
Okay.
Donald Trump releases medical report calling his health extraordinary. You remember
so
this
not
poem?
Just in good health for a septuagenarian, but he is in
over-the-top
good health.
Donald Trump has released a letter. Maybe this links directly to the letter. Let me see. I want to look at this letter. No. Page isn't found anymore. It's gone. The letter, gushing in tone and signed by Dr. Harold N. Bornstein of Lenox Hill Hospital in Manhattan, was four paragraphs long and provided few specific laboratory test results. The letter made a sweeping declaration in a tone oddly similar to how Mr. Trump talks about himself. If elected, Mr. Trump, I can state unequivocally, will be the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency.
Okay.
Dr. Bornstein wrote.
Yeah, because, you know, all the other presidents.
Healthier
you know,
than Obama. Who was a pretty young man when he was elected and in really good health and
yes.
really active physically. Yep.
Yeah, better than him.
Yeah, to whom it may concern, Trump, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so this goes on. It goes on and on. And I don't know if you remember. You guys remember when this fucking letter came out?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
It was in the news. They were talking about it because people were like, this is ridiculous. It's literally saying it's really full of like Trump hyperbole and shit.
Yep.
Like he's the most healthiest president of all time.
A stable genius.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be believable.
The doctor who signed it is now saying he never wrote it.
He's repudiated the letter.
Donald Trump wrote own health letter, says physician Harold Bornstein. Donald Trump's former doctor has said he did not write a 2015 letter declaring the then Republican presidential candidate's astonishingly excellent health, astonishingly U.S. media reports. The White House has not yet commented on the physician's allegations. Mr. Bornstein also said Mr. Trump's bodyguard had carried out a raid on his offices in February 2017, removing all of Trump's medical records.
Oh, God, dude.
Holy shit.
We're fucked.
In an interview with CNN, Mr. Bornstein said the 2015 letter suggesting that Mr. Trump would be the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency was not his professional assessment. Mr. Trump dictated the letter, and I would tell him what he couldn't put in there, he said. It is not clear why Mr. Bornstein is making these allegations now.
Maybe because he sees Trump descending further into fucking old age dementia, and he doesn't want to have this letter hanging over his head.
I am astonishingly healthy.
So if this is true, then we need, like, there needs to be some kind of demand that a third-party doctor who's qualified give this guy a fucking examination to make sure his mental faculties are not impaired.
Yeah, you know, liberals, like, you would just love that, Paul. And look.
Well, this guy did that, apparently.
Liberals want to take anything.
This guy did that. This Dr. Jackson dude.
No, this guy should be fired. Trump is the fire.
Wait a minute. Didn't that guy just get... Didn't the doctor that did that thing get caught? I saw a news story about him. Dude, cough right into the fucking mic, TJ.
Yeah.
I saw a news story about one of his doctors getting caught for like drinking on the job and over prescribing medications and shit.
Maybe. I didn't see that one. So, but this, it's kind of crazy. Oh, here's the full text of the letter. So this is the ridiculous letter. To whom my concern. I have been the personal physician of Mr. Donald J. Trump since 1980. His previous physician was my father, Dr. Jacob Bornstein. Over the past 39 years, I am pleased to report that Mr. Trump has had no significant medical problems. Mr. Trump had a recent complete medical examination that showed only positive results, especially for HIV, right? Actually, his blood pressure, 110 over 65, and laboratory test results were astonishingly excellent. Over the past 12 months, he has lost at least 15 pounds. Mr. Trump's takes 81 milligrams of aspirin daily and a low dose of a statin. His PSA test score is 0.15, very low. His physical strength and stamina are extraordinary.
Wow.
Mr. Trump has suffered no form of cancer. Has never had a hip, knee, or shoulder replacement or any other orthopedic surgery. His only surgery was an appendectomy at the age of 10. His cardiovascular status is excellent. He has no history of ever using alcohol or tobacco products. If elected, Mr. Trump, I can state unequivocally, will be the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency.
Seems like a normal letter a physician would write.
Wow, yeah. Wonderful.
I guess that they said that the government raided this dude's office and just took all the Trump records. What? Okay. Mueller, you might want to look into this, man.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Oh, my God. I know that you're already investigating so much.
You know what, TJ? You just want fucking Trump to lose. You win the money.
I mean,
you want Trump to fucking be impeached. You win the money. You don't give a shit, dude. Let's be honest.
That'd be one thing. So here's a story. Downtown restaurant ordered to pay $10,000 after black man was asked to prepay for food. A Chinese restaurant. No, this is racist Chinese, man. In downtown Toronto has been ordered to pay a black man $10,000 by Ontario's Human Rights Tribunal. Human Rights Tribunal. That's scary. After he and his friends were asked to prepay for their meals. Back on May 3rd, 2014, Emil Wickham and his three friends attended Hong Xing Chinese restaurant located in the area of Dundas Street West and University Avenue to celebrate his birthday. Wickham said he is from Trinidad and Tobago, and the friends he was with at the time were also black. After the four men ordered their food, Wickham told the tribunal they were asked to pay for their meals prior to receiving them, which they did. Wickham said he felt uneasy about the request and asked other customers inside the restaurant if they were asked to do the same. However, Wickham told the tribunal that none of the customers he spoke to said they were asked to pay in advance.
Well, I mean, there you go.
In an interview with CP24 on Monday, Wickham said he knew after leaving the restaurant that day that somebody had to be held accountable. I mean, okay, look, I feel like this guy's treatment at the hands of this restaurant was really shabby and probably racist, but I also don't really think he deserves $10,000 because this restaurant did this to him.
Well, I thought they were just fined $10,000.
No, it said at the beginning of the article they had to pay him $10,000.
Well, no, that's ridiculous. I'd be fine with them paying a fine of $10,000, but yeah, I wouldn't be fine with
him. A Chinese restaurant in downtown Toronto has been ordered to pay a black man $10,000.
No, so that's excessive.
So, I mean, like, look, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I feel like the restaurant was wrong to do this.
They singled him and his friends out. Yeah,
it was definitely a decision motivated by racism, and they should be punished for it. But I don't think that just because you got shabby treatment at a restaurant, you deserve $10,000 from that restaurant.
I mean, you got to levy some kind of fine for this type of behavior, though.
But it's,
and it's got to be significant enough to make people know that you can't do this to people based on the color of their skin.
It's not a fine. But look, this is not a fine of like the city is fining the restaurant $10,000. This is the city saying you got to give this black dude $10,000. I mean, I just don't think you deserve $10,000 because you got treated shitty at a restaurant. I've been treated shitty at a restaurant. I don't get $10,000 when the fucking people at the restaurant are dicks.
I mean, would you rather that $10,000 just get paid straight to the city so they can fritter it away on shit? Like, I don't think where the money goes really matters all that
much. I just don't
think
it's a $10,000 crime. I don't really see it as a crime.
I mean, you got to think about this. These people run a business. Yeah. You have to levy a fine. Like, if you give them a $500 fine, that's a slap on the wrist. It doesn't mean nothing.
They're not going to be doing this again. Yeah, I see.
Right.
The point there.
The $10,000 fine lets not only them know, but anybody else that follows this that runs a business know that you don't want to do this because you're going to lose several days worth of business operation.
I mean, look how thick they're laying this shit on, though. It has fundamentally changed the way he perceives Toronto and the level of the city's inclusiveness.
That's ridiculous.
Said.
I mean, this is just lawyer bullshit.
The incident was a rude awakening. Rude awakening. Well, you know what? It's these damn racist Chinese, man. This is why you never trust a Chinaman. They're all racist.
I mean, this particular group of people acted in a way that I would say is racist.
Hey, don't defend toxic Asianicity, dude.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Didn't know that was a thing, too.
You know,
I should have known.
They're just lucky they weren't white, because then they would have been really vilified.
Well, here's another guy that got a big payday from a food-related mishap, an even bigger one, actually. Pizza delivery man gets $180,000 settlement after being crushed by 400 pounds of cheese.
Paul, was this you? So you have a bad back, dude?
Holy shit, yeah.
Paul was skinny, and then he got crushed by the cheese. He had to eat his way out, and that's how he got big.
Yep.
So it was Domino's. Domino's Pizza paid out $180,000 to a former employee who was injured while transporting 400 pounds of cheese into one of the chain's restaurants in Connecticut about 2 years ago. Muhammad Hassan, a 55-year-old Meridian resident, was unloading boxes of cheese from a truck on a rainy day in June 2016 when his hand truck slipped under the weight of the food, according to Connecticut Law Tribune. The hand truck landed on Hassan after he fell on his back, and he injured his ankle, knee, and back, according to his lawyer, Brooke Goff.
Goff.
Goff. So Goff. America's love of pizza has helped fuel an increase in cheese consumption over the past few decades. Americans consume roughly 37 pounds
fuck,
of cheese,
dude,
per person.
Oh, dude, I'm way over that.
37 pounds
up
of cheese.
Up 36% from 27 pounds in 1995.
Dude.
Yeah, we are a cheese-loving people.
I do not
love
eat that much
cheese.
Cheese. There's no way that I must
For
be an
Hassan,
outlier.
However, the mishap was no pizza party. He wore a leg brace for 6 months and will likely need knee replacement surgery, Goff
Fuck,
said.
Dude.
Might be Joff. Domino's had Hassan see three doctors and attend several hearings before settling the case in April 14th, his lawyer said. So I don't know. It just sucks. I mean, it's just a comedic thing to be crushed
Domino's
by.
Domino's fucking, they were like, they said in the article, he saw three doctors and fucking was basically grilled as to like, you ain't just trying to fucking fake. Oh, I guess not. Here's the money.
You know what, TJ? This was a cheesy story.
Ow!
This was a cheesy story for you to pull, man.
Yeah, you laid it on real thick.
Well, here's a not so cheesy story. This is about euthanasia.
Whoa,
youth,
dude.
In Asia?
Yeah, youth in Asia.
Oh, okay.
Switching gears.
Sorry,
dude.
Euthanasia. David Goodall, 104-year-old scientist to end his own life in Switzerland. Goodall's decision is reigniting a debate about euthanasia in Australia, where assisted suicide is illegal. Australia's oldest scientist, who caused a stir when his university tried to vacate his office, age 102, will fly to Switzerland in early May to end his life, reigniting a national euthanasia debate. David Goodall, who is now 104, does not have a terminal illness, but his quality of life has deteriorated, and he has secured a fast-track appointment with an assisted dying agency in Basel, euthanasia advocate said. I greatly regret having reached that age, the ecologist told broadcaster ABC on his birthday earlier this month. I'm not happy. I want to die. It's not sad, particularly. What is sad is if one is prevented.
Okay.
My feeling is that an old person like myself should have full citizenship rights, including the right of assisted suicide.
He's correct.
I mean, why shouldn't he? I mean, it's his life.
He's absolutely fucking
correct. He's 104
correct.
Years old. I mean, how much longer is he really going to fucking live?
Look, I just don't understand the argument on the other side of this, because, you know, it's a bunch of people who aren't suffering in the way that this guy is, telling this guy how he should have to endure his conscious existence in a state that he's not happy in anymore due to his deteriorating body. Like,
even if they were suffering, it doesn't give them the right to tell him what to do with his own body. If he wants to die, he wants to go to Switzerland, he's 104 years old, that's his fucking choice. It's his life. Why should be someone else's decision what you do with your life?
It isn't.
I mean, plenty of people blow their brains out. That's why. But if they knew they could just kill themselves in that way, they could either seek counseling to make an informed decision, or they could just kill themselves, you know, behind a building or in the fucking barn or wherever. Or
like, I'd rather spare people that horror. You know what I mean? If people want to die,
give them a peaceful way to do it.
Yeah.
Especially at 104 fucking years
old. I mean, in his case, it's extraordinary. He's lived an extraordinarily long life. He's had a long fucking life, and he's just ready to die.
He's tired of it. Tired of
let,
it.
Let him die with dignity and peace instead of fucking make force
him
to
make
another
this big plane trip over all the way to fucking Switzerland.
Yeah, he's 104. I mean, come the fuck on.
Yeah.
Whopper of trouble for man in Burger King rampage.
He looks like a dude yeah. that would go fuck up a Burger King.
Vero Beach. It could be said that Michael Girardin went to jail for having his way at Burger King. Yeah,
oh.
Have it your way. I get you.
He wanted his way, dude. He took their fucking motto seriously.
So
dude.
On April 7th, he was their accused slogan. Of going ballistic at the fast food eatery in the 1900 block of US 1, clobbering the drive-through speaker box and yelling obscenities across the parking lot.
That's awesome, dude.
Police about 10:30 p.m. went to a complaint about Girardin, 62 at the time, trying to go in the door and banging on the window. Girardin was told not to return and left. Problem is, he evidently came back. Police about 11:22 p.m. returned to Burger King, also known as Home of the Whopper, and saw Girardin stumbling in the road. He smelled of booze, slurred his speech, and had a yellow bicycle with him. A witness reports Girardin walked to the drive-through speaker box. He started to smash his bike into the speaker box until the top half broke off. He began yelling foul language across the parking lot. The speaker box was valued at $1,000. At the jail, investigators found a small amount of marijuana.
That's why he did it. Yep.
That's why he did it.
High
Girardin,
on the weed.
Listed as homeless, was arrested on charges including trespassing, criminal mischief, and bringing a controlled substance into a holding facility.
Look, dude, I've wanted to smash these fucking speaker boxes with a bike before. I think this guy was, he was doing us all a favor.
I gotta say, too, for being a homeless 62-year-old, he don't look bad.
He fucking
What is he wearing, though? It looks like he's wearing a smock or something.
Yeah, it looks like he's wearing one of those things you wear when you get your hair cut. Yeah.
He should have fucking, you know, the pot thing shouldn't be a charge.
No.
You know what's really funny is me and TJ were in San Diego one time, this dude tried to give us weed, and we were so dumb, we're like, we can get in trouble for this, but I've read the laws, and pretty much since the 90s, if someone just gives you weed in California, you can just
Oh, it's been decriminalized. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you get caught with weed on your person, you get a ticket, like you had a brake light out or some shit. That's it.
So some dude was trying to give us medical marijuana, dude, and we turned it down like idiots.
I can say honestly that I've never turned down weed. So I just
well, it was some random black homeless dude we gave like $5 to because we was like, yeah, oh, we feel sorry for you. Here's some money, and he's like, have some weed.
It's like, oh, so you have no money. I would have been like, sure, come on, let's do it.
Paul's been like, all right,
friend with weed's a friend indeed.
It's so true.
Yeah. Mom or mum delivers her own baby after watching YouTube tutorial.
Cool.
A woman who had no idea she was pregnant was forced to deliver her own baby in a hotel room with only YouTube for guidance.
I don't know how this happens.
Yeah.
And you hear these stories all the time about women that didn't know they were pregnant.
Right.
And you just assume, okay, this must be just a giant fat bitch that didn't see any change.
And they're not.
But then look at her up there. She looks like she's... How did she... And the baby looks of normal size. Like, how did she not know she was pregnant for 9 months?
Yeah, I don't know, but it happens. Strange thing.
Because the baby, like, I've been around pregnant women. Like, when they're really big and pregnant, like, the baby, you can see the baby moving in their stomach and shit. Like, it's obvious there's something in there. They can feel it kicking and flipping and moving. Like, I just don't understand how this goes under your radar as a woman for 9 months.
Oh, no, no, wait. Sharing her outrageous real life story on Twitter, she explained how she had no idea she was pregnant until she had passed the 6 month mark, decided to go ahead with her holiday regardless, assuming the baby would be born after she got home.
So she only six, but still, even 6 months seems a little implausible. But she decided to go anyway and had a premature birth or whatever.
She went into labor on the flight out of the U.S., but wrongly believed her twinges and contractions to be symptoms of food poisoning. What? After eating salmon on her in-flight meal. Damn, I knew it was that salmon.
She wouldn't think
that... Seems like she ignores a lot of obvious signs.
I think she should have waited until she got back. You know, she should have waited a couple of years and gone on the trip later when she wasn't pregnant.
Whatever. So she gave birth, though. I mean, she did it. You know, what are you going to do?
Well, she said she was determined not to give birth on the airport floor, so she went to her fucking hotel room and looked up on YouTube how to deliver a baby and just
did it. I would have probably looked up, like, where are the hospitals in this country, but whatever.
I mean, it was in Istanbul. I don't know if you want to go to a Turkish hospital. I don't know what what things are like over there.
I mean, I think you're probably better off in the Turkish hospital than you are trying to deliver it yourself in a Turkish hotel room.
It's not like Morocco, dude. I mean, Turkey, I'm sure, has decent hospitals.
We're not talking about, like, Bangladesh or some shit, you know?
It's like, fuck, squat it out. You know,
I never been to no Turkey. I ain't never been to no Turkish hospital. I don't know what goes on up in there.
So this is just a big historic story that we'd be remiss not to cover. You know, all these peace talks, seeing the presidents of the Koreas hanging out, stepping foot in each other's countries, all this shit. And of course, we can thank Trump. So good job, Trump.
And the South Korean leader himself has said that Trump was instrumental in bringing Moon to the table.
And you know what's the crazy thing is? He said it was all the fire and fury rhetoric that did it. He's like, yeah, that really brought him to the table because he was scared.
Wow.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Trump...
Look what Trump fucking did, TJ.
I mean, you know, give the devil his due, I guess. I mean,
look what Trump fucking did, buddy.
You want to see the video of
them? Here's the video of them at the DMZ.
Yeah.
Yep, they're walking and shit, dude. Look at them.
I'm just going to go ahead and turn the volume off on this.
Yeah.
We'll just take a look.
It's just one of those...
Kim Jong-un is a fat motherfucker, dude.
He is a pudgy little bastard.
He's probably the only fat dude in his country.
So he's smiling, and that's him crossing the demarcation line.
I'm surprised that he's such a good politician, given that he doesn't really have to deal with, like, the pressures of getting elected and all this shit. It's like, you know, he's still able to fucking paste on that leader smile.
We crossed into South Korea. There you go.
Yep.
hasn't, I mean, you know, they, those kind of, that you never, I never, I didn't think I'd see that.
No, you didn't think so.
Not in my lifetime. I mean, this has been like a hot war since before we were all born.
Oh,
this
yeah,
has
dude.
Been a conflict.
I remember back in the 90s, dude, I'm hearing about like people were starving in North Korea, like kids were eating grass. Oh, and yeah. Shit.
And, you know, like every new administration that we have seems to kind of just
and they
make it worse.
Oh, shit.
And then they stepped into North Korea together as well.
I read about this. This is like the only unplanned moment. Like, and that's why he kind of hesitates. Like, oh, shit.
He's like, I'm not sure if I should do that. But he's like, well, you know, the leader's telling me it's okay. Let's do it. Yeah, you could tell that wasn't a planned moment, but
it's still kind of cool that it happened, though. It's you know, it's kind of a gracious thing. I don't know. It's just something you never thought you'd see.
Now, I mean, like, who knows how these peace talks will ultimately go? Who knows?
I mean, it's definitely
how serious North Korea is about this. But the fact that it's even happening is good.
It's the most significant thing that's happened on the Korean Peninsula since the war.
And, you know, I was one of these people who was like, man, you know, maybe we should have been more hawkish against North Korea. Maybe we should have, you know, tried to do something to take him out. And I guess I got to 100% say, if I mean, like, depending on how this stuff goes, I was wrong.
But people are saying, too, that this is, you know, trying to exert its influence.
Sure.
In the region, trying to get the U.S. out of there because they make peace. Then there doesn't need to be a big military contingency in
right.
South Korea.
But, I mean, they have to honestly make peace, though. They have to open up their country a little bit.
Oh, well, yeah. You know? I mean,
that's the important thing.
They committed to eventual denuclearization. So, I mean, if that does happen, but they want that in the whole peninsula. So South Korea, that means no nukes for South Korea either.
They're going to have to fucking ease up on the restrictiveness of the citizenry, how they treat their people in their country too. I mean,
this is a huge thing and it's going to require huge changes in North Korea to work. And it may end up falling apart, but it's significant nonetheless.
At least they've...
And you might not have been wrong, TJ. You were talking about how we should have been more hawkish. If it's true that the fire and fury hawkishness that fucking Trump was throwing out there is what brought him to the table, then maybe you were right. We needed to, at least in rhetoric, be more hawkish.
I mean, and this has gone on for quite a while. So if this is actually the end of the, you know, fucking oppressive regime in North Korea, I mean, that is a hell of an achievement.
I mean, I'm sure it's not going to become some kind of great... you know, bastion of freedom overnight.
But well, I mean, look at Germany. Germany was divided for all those years. I mean, it can happen.
But
I mean,
it took a long time after the wall came down
North Korea is still going to maintain its autonomy as a country, though. So, I mean, it's not like the two Koreas are uniting as one. But if they can at least have positive relations with each other, I mean, that's going to be a major step. I mean, like, I think North Korea ultimately would benefit from this anyway, because they're going to actually able to bring food into their country.
It opens up commerce.
Sanctions are going to be, you know.
It opens up tourism. You know what I mean? It opens up money for their country, which they desperately need.
But it's going to require a lot of people who live in that country changing their attitudes about a lot of things. So
I mean,
I think a lot of people in North Korea will embrace it.
Oh, yeah. I think people in North really Korea are ready to change their attitudes at any moment.
I don't think a lot of people are really against this in North Korea.
The people that need to change their attitudes in North Korea are the people that are in the ruling class that have, you know, been in these positions forever.
I want you guys to hear about the coolest fucking strike ever.
Like people walking out on work to protest.
Well, no, that's what makes it cool.
Okay.
So this is the Okayama bus strike in Japan.
All right.
And this is the coolest fucking strike, because the way they're striking is they're still doing their routes on the buses. It's a bus driver strike. They're still doing their routes. They're just not charging anybody.
That's awesome, dude.
Wow.
So you can basically ride the bus for free now. If you're in this bus drivers in Okayama working with Ryobi Group have taken to the streets in an unusual form of protest. While technically on strike, they are continuing to drive their routes while refusing to take fare from passengers.
Wow.
Now that's fucking dedicated. That's a dedicated fucking strike, dude.
Yep.
Saying, you know what? Don't give us any fucking money. Just ride anyways. Fuck these motherfuckers.
Yeah, what they're basically saying is, like, we're still going to provide this public service for the public good, but we're not going to charge anybody because we're pissed at this company. They're not going to make any money off of it.
Good.
As a result, Ryobi drivers are feeling threatened and asking management for improvements to their job security. As a result of what? There's a new rival line of buses that arrived with cheaper fare. And, you know, they got cute little faces on them, I guess, too. So that's like a threat to the bus thing. As a result, Ryobi drivers are feeling threatened and asking management for improvements to their job security under the added competition. It would seem Ryobi was less enthusiastic to accommodate and a strike was declared. In cases such as this, management may use the labor stoppage against the drivers, appealing to the public that they are putting their own needs before the communities. So to show that isn't the case, Ryobi drivers are continuing to clock in, but without performing the part of their job that requires them to accept payment during certain times. In other words, free bus rides for all. So basically what these bus drivers are doing is undercutting this argument of, look at how they're inconveniencing everyone for their own selfish needs.
Right.
It's like, no, we're just saying we want to be treated more fairly. We're still going to provide this public service. Fuck you.
It's pretty cool.
And that's all the stories we have for today here on Flash Fried.
It's a pretty good show. We covered the gamut. We went all over the world.
Flash Fried! Yeah, we try to we cover international news here. We're not USA centric here on Flash Fried. Now, I can't pronounce any sort of foreign city or name, but I give it the old college try. That's all that really matters.
Yep.
That's all that really matters.
I gotta agree.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate you. If you're not a patron, become a patron. If you haven't given this video a thumbs up, give it a thumbs up. If you haven't fucking hit
if you're happy
with a big
you know
brick,
it.
Hit
give
him
a thumbs up.
Brick.
Oh, dude, let me do this, too. Stay tuned, fans of Deep Fat Fried and Pessimist Productions, for a fucking world-shattering announcement to come soon.
World.
I'm talking epic on a level that has not been achieved.
Shattering.
You guys have got some shit coming. Stay tuned, motherfuckers.
Some fried
taste coming your way. Bitch.